You're listening to Gardening with Cisco on Demand, brought to you this week by Bonide. Check out the Bonide family of products for all your gardening needs. Whether it's bugs or weeds, there's a Bonide product to help. Find out more about Bonide and a dealer near you at Bonide.com.
Hey, good morning, folks. This is Marianne Bonetti, and it is 12:05 on Cairo 97.3 FM, and I'm not Cisco Morris. This is Marianne Bonetti, and I'm filling in for Cisco on this beautiful Saturday morning. And I'm just warning you, traffic is bad out there. I got here from Enum Cloud just in the nick of time to say, stay home and garden today, because it's a beautiful day to be working in the yard. There's so much I want you guys to be working on today. You need to be planting, pruning, mowing, weeding, and I'll be going through all the most asked gardening questions. So if you have a gardening question for me, the number to call is 1-888-973-KIRO. That is 1-888-973-5476. And I'm going to try and get through a lot of questions today. And Cisco is going to be back next Saturday. He just took a quick trip to Minnesota. So meanwhile, let me tell you some things that you should be doing in your garden today, this weekend, or this week to get off to a great start. If I had to say one thing to do today, that would be get outside and pull all the shotweed and dig out the dandelions. Any weed that you see in bloom, you want to get those out of your garden now before they go to seed. You're going to prevent so many seeds in the future if you get out there and weed now. So that also means you should be mowing the lawn if you see those dandelions in bloom and pulling, you know, all the weeds out from around the plants. Now, shotweed is that very small weed. It has little white flowers. It kind of has a circular leaf pattern. But which reason it got named shotweed is because it makes these little seed capsules right after the white flowers are done blooming. And then when you get close, those weeds will shoot out and spray all over your garden, and you'll have millions and millions of shotweed. So that's why it's important this week to get out there and pull all the shotweed before they go to seed. Now, you got the urge to plant. You know, it's okay to plant a lot of blooming annuals right now. You can plant cool season annuals like lobelia, pansies, alyssum. Do not plant warm season annuals outdoors. Warm season annuals would be things like coleus. Coleus hate cold nights. Geraniums, marigolds, petunias. I would wait on those unless you have like a super warm spot, like a raised bed made out of bricks that's under the eaves of the house. It's facing west or south. Something unique like that. Otherwise, just wait. It's a little bit early to be planting all your containers and window baskets. We can still get a late frost at this time. In the vegetable garden, it's okay to start planting peas, and you should be planting sweet peas. You can plant beets. You can plant carrots and lettuce. But speaking of peas, I have to tell you guys that before Cisco left for Minnesota, he is so good about being loyal to you, his listeners, that he wanted me to follow up on a question that was asked last week. So last week, Barbara, I hope you're listening because Cisco was thinking about you. He did some research. He talked to Ed Hume, and Barbara called in last week and asked a question. Her question was that she had some Aladdin peas, and she wanted to know, she had saved the seeds of these peas from last year. She wanted to know if she could replant these pea seeds, and would they breed true, or would they still be the exact same variety? In other words, Barbara wanted to know if her pea seeds were hybrids. Hybrids are seeds that have been crossbred that will not breed true if you save and replant the seeds. And Barbara, the research is done. It took a whole team, and the answer is yes, you can replant your Aladdin peas. They were not hybrid seeds, although those are no longer, you know, made now. So go ahead, you save those pea seeds, plant them in the garden right now, and they're not going to cross. You should still try to plant different pea varieties at opposite ends of a row so that you don't get any chance of different varieties that are planted at the same time crossing with one another, you know, because of the cross-pollination. So that was awful nice of Cisco, and I'm going to have time to go talk to Rita in Renton right now. Hey, Rita, this is Mary Ann Bonetti. What can I help you with?
Hi, how are you today?
I am great. I'm filling in for Cisco, and it's a beautiful day outside to be a gardener.
Well, I was doing that yesterday and in between rain showers upcoming through the week. So what my question is, so that I don't wander aimlessly through the nurseries anymore.
Okay.
We have a new patio, and we wanted to do the planting bed around our patio in a tropical planting field.
Oh, awesome.
So, you know, I don't want a palm tree, but I'd like something that would be palm looking but lower to the ground, you know, not necessarily
yes.
a tree, and something broad leaf that would be evergreen that would kind of give us that tropical butt in the sand chair feel.
I love that. Okay, I got a couple of ideas for you. You got a pencil and paper ready to write this down?
I am ready.
Okay. One is Fastia japonica. And Fastia japonica has kind of a big, shiny, star-shaped leaf. And there's a variety called spider web.
Oh, we bought one of those.
Oh, aren't they awesome?
Yeah, and I think it's starting. My husband noticed that it might be starting to bloom.
Yep, they'll do that.
Okay, so we have one of those, and those will grow quite large.
Well, maybe 4 to 5 feet. You know.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Alrighty.
Then there's something that's kind of different. It's called the rainbow bush. The rainbow
Ooh.
Bush, or leucothea. And leucothea is spelled L-E-U-C-O-T-H-E. Leucothea. Rainbow
okay,
bush.
Okay, L-E-U-C-O-Q-H-E.
C-O-T-H-E.
C-O-T-H-E. Okay.
Leucothea. And this has got these beautiful leaves that look like they've been splattered with paint. The leaves
okay.
are kind of creamy yellow with pink and red splatters on them. I don't know why everybody doesn't plant this. I mean, there's got to be a law that people should be forced to plant it because it does great, and it's evergreen, and it's colorful all year round, and it looks very tropical.
Okay,
so
evergreen.
Yeah.
Perfect. And is there anything that would look like a fan palm or, I mean, am I just kind of like
Well, do you know what the cannas are? Do you know what cannas are?
No.
So cannas come up from the ground from a bulb, and you should be planting those bulbs right now. I put them in pots, and
okay.
they come up. It's almost like an ear of corn, but the leaves are twice as wide and five times as brilliantly colored.
Okay.
And it's called Canna Tropicana, and they come in orange and yellow and green and deep purple. And you buy the bulb. Some nurseries and greenhouses are selling them in pots with the bulbs already started.
Okay, is that something I can leave out year-round?
If you have a nice dry spot, they will overwinter. Most what I recommend is put them in a pot, and then when winter
okay.
comes, drag the pot into the garage.
Okay.
So canna's a great
one.
This
will get me started. I appreciate your...
I could go on and on because I love this whole tropical theme you got going on here.
Well, yeah. You know, we're looking for something that we can leave in the ground, not have to overwinter because we already overwinter our geraniums.
Okay, well, let me tell you one more ground cover. It's called...
And something a little more bushier and,
bushier.
More palm tree looking.
Are you familiar with Heavenly Bamboo or Nandinia?
I have Nandinia, but with bamboo, we were thinking of planting that and then putting it. We were at the garden show and we looked at the bamboo display and they said to keep it from sprouting up all over your yard, to plant it in a container.
Okay, I don't usually recommend bamboo ever because
okay.
even if you put it in a container, the bamboo will sneak its roots out of the drainage holes and go over to your neighbor's yard and wreak havoc. So I recommend Heavenly Bamboo, which is not a
okay.
true bamboo. It's Nandina, N-A-N-D-I-N-A. It's kind of like a fake bamboo.
Okay.
And it's much better behaved, and it comes in, you know, like five different sizes and colors. There's a Sienna Nandina that's red, and there's a dwarf Nandina called Bar Harbor. There's a taller Nandina, and they're great because they're evergreen, and they are well-behaved, get a lot of different colors. Another really bushy one that you should look into is the Magic Carpet Spirea.
Okay.
So spireas are hard-to-kill shrubs. They usually
okay.
have golden foliage with red tips. But you know what? I'm going to have to put you on hold because we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Gardening with Cisco. Marianne Bonetti filling in on 97.3 Cairo FM.
You're listening to Gardening with Cisco on Demand, brought to you this week by Bonide. Check out the Bonide family of products for all your gardening needs. Whether it's bugs or weeds, there's a Bonide product to help. Find out more about Bonide and a dealer near you at Bonide.com.
This is Gardening with Cisco on the all-new Cairo Radio Weekends, brought to you by PacificTopsoil.com and Moldax in Woodinville. Ooh la la! Here's Cisco.
Hey, it's not Cisco. Surprise. It's Marianne Bonetti today. I'm filling in for Cisco, but he's going to be back next week. And hey, Rita, are you still there?
And I don't want to take up any more of your time because I know you have anxious callers. But one last question. What is your quick thoughts on, I've seen a mountain pepper plant bush, and I thought its foliage was quite pretty.
A mountain pepper bush.
Yeah.
I do not know what that is. So
it kind of has a burgundy stem and then really dark green leaves that come out from it.
You didn't have to notice like a botanical name on it, did you?
Oh, I can never pronounce those things.
Okay. Well, you know what, Rita? That is something I think you better ask Cisco next week because
okay.
I can't think.
All
I don't know what a mountain pepper bush is, but hey, it sounds cool. And thank
well,
you.
It looks Well, thank you for your direction. This really gets me started down the right path, and I appreciate all your information today.
Okay, thanks. Hey, and that opens up another line, so give us a call at 1-888-973-KIRO. We'll be able to get in a lot of questions today. That's 1-888-973-KIRO. And I just got to say, while we were on break, I heard a radio commercial for Zenith Holland Nursery, and what a coincidence, because I was just there this past week, just checking out the new nursery in the Des Moines area, and I bought a tropical-looking plant. Yeah, I bought a plant. It's called a flowering maple. It actually has no relation to the true maple, just like Nandina has no relation to the true bamboo. The flowering maple is an arbutifolia, and it's kind of a half-tender perennial. But it looks so tropical. I've been looking for one of these for a while. It has leaves that look like maple leaves, but they're bright yellow, spotted green. And then it has these amazing orange, they kind of look like hula hoop flowers or, you know, more of a tropical looking orange flower. So it's a really colorful, unusual looking plant. And so if you're looking for a tropical look, or you want to plant something different in your containers for your patio, look for the flowering maples or arbutifolia. And then, so I found that at Zenith Holland Nursery. And I also found some hardy sedums there that are blooming right now. They were awesome. But I am going to be doing a lot of great container garden ideas and theme garden ideas at different places around the area. Go to my website if you want to see where I'll be speaking. It's www.benettigarden.com. First, though, I have to take a group to Tuscany. We're going to go see beautiful gardens in Italy this next month, and I hope we're planning it for when the wisteria are in bloom, because we'll be hiking around Cinque Terre and visiting the gardens of Tuscany. But back to what you should be doing in your garden right now. Okay, mowing is the important thing, but when it comes to mowing this time of year, what we have to realize, the months of the end of April until the beginning of June in Western Washington is a time when your lawns are going to do best if you mow them every 4 to 5 days instead of just once a week. Now, the reason for that is if you mow once a week, and hey, I admit it, our lawn probably gets mowed once every 8 or 9 days, but if you mow just once a week, you're cutting off, the lawn grows so fast this time of year that you're cutting off more than the top one-third of the blade of grass, you know, to keep it like under 3 inches tall. So the ideal is to let your lawn get 3 inches and then you remove 1 inch. Let it grow to 3 inches and then remove 1 inch. And by letting your lawn get to be 3 inches before you cut it, you're doing two really important things. Number one, you're allowing more leaf growth so that you have more energy that the lawn can create growth, you know, more photosynthesis. Plus, the lawn being taller is going to shade out the sun-loving weeds. So many of our lawn weeds love the sun. And when you let your lawn get a little bit taller, you're shading out those weeds. And so here in the Pacific Northwest, we have cool season grasses. And cool season grasses do best when they're allowed to grow 3 inches tall, and then you remove one third of the blade of the grass. You're going to have thicker growth, and you're also going to have less weeds. And by the way, those lawn weeds are trying to tell you something. I got to tell you, because you're not listening to the weeds themselves, what they're trying to tell you. If you have a lot of clover in your lawn, that means your lawn has some compacted areas and maybe some low nitrogen areas, because clover adds nitrogen to the soil. Clover is not a bad thing. It's not really a big deal. So loosen up. If you have a lot of clover, you might want to aerate your lawn, poke holes in it so it's less compacted. Sometimes places where you've had a swimming pool or you've accidentally, driven on the lawn, it's going to have a little more compaction, so it's going to have clover growing. The other thing you might see is buttercup. Buttercup has got yellow flowers. It's very low growing. Buttercup grows where there's poor drainage, where the soil is very acidic, and it drains poorly. So the easiest way to get rid of the buttercup is just put a whole new layer of sandy loam right on top of it. Raise the level of your lawn so that it's, it drains better. And then also, you're going to have less issues with moss. Moss, which is the number one complaint in Northwest lawns, really isn't harming anything. Moss is not really the bad, guy you think it is. In fact, part of my lawn is a moss lawn. It's very low care. But moss, even if you kill the moss, is going to come back unless you change the conditions. Moss grows because it's too shady, it's too wet, or there's poor drainage, or you have poor fertility, so the lawn isn't growing thick enough. Moss is an opportunist, and moss grows where the lawn is not growing. And so by improving the lawn and making it thicken up, you're going to have less moss. So improving the drainage by aerating, and now is a great time to be reseeding your lawn, by the way. And reseeding the lawn is done by simply mowing, raking out all that winter debris if you haven't done that yet. And then once you've got the lawn mowed, you can top dress with a little bit of sandy loam or topsoil, and then sprinkle fresh new lawn seed right on top of your old lawn. So those are your lawn tips. We got places open if you want to give me a call. And we're going to be going to break. And then I'll be answering your gardening questions. And I'll be getting right to you because we've got a spot open. So call me at 1-888-973-KIRO. This is Mary Ann Bonetti, filling for Cisco Morris on 97.3 Cairo FM.
Zenith Holland Nursery is your boutique nursery providing unique quality plants growing in 11 greenhouses on an acre of land south of downtown Des Moines on Marine View Drive South. Check zenithholland.com for products and special events.
You're listening to Gardening with Cisco on the all-new Cairo Radio Weekends.
Hey, good afternoon, gardeners. It's Mary Ann Bonetti. I'm filling in for Cisco Morris today, but he's going to be back next weekend. And so I'm just answering your gardening questions while he is out for a bit. And if you want to give me a call, you can give me a call here at 1-888-973-5476. But let's go see what Clara for Yelm has to say. So, Clara. Hey, this is Mary Ann Bonetti. Yes. Bonetti, Clara, what can I help you with?
Black spot on roses.
Oh, what a great question. Yeah. Okay, so black spot is just a fungus among us, and it's very common in the Northwest. But there's some things you can do before you, reach for a fungicide spray. First thing I always say is, use a disease-resistant rose. But do you know what variety of rose that you have that has the black spot on it, Clara?
I have no idea. All of them did. Yeah, I've lived here 10 years, and they were here then.
Okay.
When I moved here.
Okay,
two of them climbed so much, they probably got frozen, and it's rootstock, the old-fashioned kind of stuff that came up when I was a little kid.
Okay. So is the black spot on the new growth of the roses, or is the black spot on the leaves of the roses that were hanging on all winter?
There were nothing on their over the winter.
Okay.
But when they started getting new growth early, I pruned them, and then we got that week of snow.
Oh, I see.
That all went away. But they now, no, they all have probably 3 or 4 inches of leaves all over them.
Okay.
I haven't seen any black spot yet.
Perfect.
This was 2 years ago, and I put the stuff on it that the nursery told me to get.
Right.
And I had health challenges that I have no idea what they looked like last year.
Okay. So because it's early in the spring, most likely the new growth on your roses do not have any black spot yet. And to keep it that way,
right,
there's two things that you can try. One is to clean up at the base of the rose plants any fallen leaves. If it's difficult for you to get down there and clean it up, it might be easier to just put a fresh mulch, you know, just like a bag of bark. You know, put half a bag of bark at the base of the roses, right on top of last year's leaves and last year's soil. The reason is because those the spores of that black spot fungus have fallen down into the soil, and they're on the leaves that were there last. So when you put that bark on top, you're preventing the rain from splashing the black spot spores back up onto the rose plant. So that's a deterrent.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice, easy barrier method. Another thing that you can try, and it's, they do this in Sweden. I don't see it recommended too much in the United States, but I've done it in my own garden, kind of mixed results, is to throw skim milk onto the leaves of your roses. And what this does, or what they say it does in the latest study, is that the skim milk will film like a milk fungus on the leaves of the roses that you can't see, but it prevents the black spot fungus from growing. And so...
So like spray it? Put it in a spray bottle and spray it?
Yep, you can do that. You know what I usually do though, Clara? When I did the experiment on this, I would just have milk on my cereal in the morning, and then the milk left over in that bowl of cereal, I would just walk outside and throw that milk on my one rose. It was called the Barbara Bush Rose, believe it or not. And Barbara Bush's funeral is today. And I was testing to see if the skim milk actually kept the black spot away from my roses, as well as using a fungicide or something like that. And my results were mixed. I'm going to say it worked just as good as, you know, spraying with a fungicide. So it's not going to keep all the black spot off, but it definitely showed improvement over not putting any skim milk on the leaves of half that rose plant. Very unscientific survey, but I just kind of wanted to prove in the Northwest what I've been reading about that they're doing in Sweden. So give it a try, see what you think.
An easy, fairly cheap thing to do.
Which is what I thought too. I thought, you know, I don't want to mix up the Fungenex, fungicide. Let's just try this. So it's a very, especially if you're not in very good health, you don't want to be, you know, mixing something up and spraying it. Give that a try. And you know what I did? I did only part of the plant so I could compare. Did it actually work or not? Something fun to try. And so, you know, clean up anything near the base, put down that fresh mulch, and then try the milk cure. And, you know, let us know. There's also a baking soda and water solution that you can spray on the roses. And it's 1 tablespoon of baking soda to 1 gallon of water, I believe. And you can...
That's not very much.
No, that's not very much. And it's an easy thing to do as well. I never really had good luck doing that, to tell you the truth. But you know what? Other people have. So, and then using a fungicide, which is you get it at the garden center, like a trade name is Fungenex.
I've got some left from 2 years ago.
Yeah. And all I say is, you know, I tell everyone, put on your glasses and read the fine print and follow the instructions exactly. That'll give you the best results.
Okay.
Hey,
thank you very much.
Well, Clara, thanks for calling in all the way from Yelm. And I'm going to be able to go to another caller. So thanks, Clara. I'm now going to go to Diane in Auburn. Hey, Diane.
Hi,
this is Marianne Bonetti.
Hi.
What can I help you with?
Am I coming through?
You are. I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. I'm wondering why my skimmia plants, are their leaves are all turning yellow.
Ooh, good question.
What are
I think
they lacking?
I know. Yeah, I think I know the answer. So yellow leaves in the spring, do you see that there's green veins in those skimmia leaves?
That there's what?
Green veins. Like, you know, like the leaf is green, but you can see green lines where the vein of the leaf is.
No, they're just yellow.
Okay. So if you, so it, the green veins tells me it could be lack of iron. If they're just yellow, there's several things could be going on. One is too much water. Are they near a, you know, where water runs off of from your roof, gutter?
They don't get too much water.
They don't get too much water. What about mites? If do they look almost kind of faded? And if you look underneath the leaf, is there like little tiny dots? Do you know what mites are?
No, there's not. They start on the end, and they're still sort of green towards the stem. And I also, one of my pears has got black spot on its leaves.
Oh, one of your pears has black spots. Do you, I see that you live in Auburn. Did you happen to put lime on your soil, on your lawn or anything?
I don't have a lawn. I have all plants.
Okay. Because what I'm looking for is perhaps the your soil pH is off, that the soil is not acid anymore as it used to be.
Okay.
Do you have rhododendrons that are looking green?
Rhododendrons look great.
Okay. Well, then it's probably not the acid. Is there any way that anybody used any herbicide in the area?
No, no.
And what about a dog?
Nope.
No dog. Boy, no. you're stumping me, Diane. Why can't you give these hard questions to Cisco, for Pete's sakes? Okay.
Oh.
The best thing I'm going to tell you to do is let's just try fertilizing. And use a fertilizer with nitrogen in it. You know, do you have some fertilizer sitting around at home?
What kind?
Any fertilizer sitting that has nitrogen.
Oh, it has nitrogen. That's the first letter, first number?
Yes. Or a rhododendron and azalea fertilizer.
Oh, okay. Okay. And try that.
Okay.
Okay. And then you were talking about Leucosia. Yes. Mine has not grown in 4 years. It's the same size and it's not real colorful. Is it in too much shade, do you think?
No, they like the shade, actually. They do like a lot of water, though. Is it in a moist spot?
No.
Okay, because I have like 4 or 5 of them on my 2 acres out in Enumclaw. And the ones that are near the cedar trees where the soil is very dry, they're like frozen. They don't grow. The one that is out gets some runoff from a overhead gutter. It is 6 to 7 feet tall, and I'm always hacking it back. So they're very sensitive to moisture.
The leaves aren't colorful either.
And the one in the sun, with more sun, is always more colorful. But if it gets more water, you're going to see more new growth, and that's where you're going to see all that lovely color.
Okay.
I love the Leucothi rainbow bush. It's a great shrub.
Yeah.
Especially you could cut the greens and
like
use them indoors.
I would like to get more color out of it, so I should move it into more sun probably.
Yeah, do that, and try watering it more this summer.
Watering it more. Okay.
Hey, thank Diane, let us know what happens with your skimmia after you fertilize. And
all right, thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to be talking to Joyce from Gig Harbor next. We're going to take a break right now. And then I'm going to tell you that we heard from Barbara. Barbara is the one that asked Cisco about the pea seeds. And Cisco did the research and got back to her. So Barbara just called to tell us thank you. So I'll pass it on to Cisco, Barbara. This is Mary Ann Bonetti, filling in for Cisco Morris on 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Gardening with Cisco on the all-new Cairo Radio Weekends.
Hey, gardeners! This is Gardening with Mary Ann Bonetti today because Cisco is going to be back next Saturday. And I'm just filling in for him while he is in Minnesota. And we have Joyce from Gig Harbor, and we're going to go right to her. But before we do that, if you call in right now, I could probably answer your question before we end the show. So give me a call at 1-888-973-CAIRO. That's 1-888-973-5476. And now let's talk to Joyce. Hi, Joyce. This is Mary Ann Bonetti.
Hi, Mary Ann.
How can I help you?
Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
My problem is I have 3 miniature alpine spruce.
Okay.
And I noticed one of them wasn't doing well. They're in front of my garage, north in an exposure, about 8 feet apart.
Okay.
So I got one out, and after I found the red spiders and got some neem oil spray.
Okay.
I sprayed that plant entirely, and I noticed on the larger one that it was starting to turn brown at the top. So I sprayed that one also, and then I sprayed the third one for a good measure. Had to go out of town for a week, came back, and the one that was really affected is even more brown. It's probably dead. And the one that I had put on the other one that showed signs had spider web on it, so I don't think it worked. And I'm wondering, do they have a systemic thing for the spruce that I could do in case when I leave town I don't come back to dead spruce plants?
They do, Joyce. There is a systemic that you work into the soil, and then the plant absorbs that poison. And then when the sucking insects eat the plant, you know, the mites and other things, then, you know, they just don't like the taste of it. But there's something else that I wish you would try, Joyce, and it's very simple and very effective. And that is to put a hose end sprayer on your hose and blast your mini spruces with a strong jet of water in February and March, because what we have found is that by blasting with water, you're breaking up all the webs of the mites, and you're disrupting, you know, their little families. And if you do that like three times in 1 week, studies have shown that it actually is very effective at, you know, damaging the spider mite colonies. And so not only do they leave, but because you've damaged the webs, predators can move in and finish them up because the webs are protecting the mites. That makes sense? It's really easy. Yeah, I've done that myself. Here's the thing. Those spruces are more likely to get spider mites when they dry out in the summer or they're slightly stressed. Now, I have a feeling if yours was, you say yours was right by a driveway?
Yes, it's the top of my driveway, right next to my garage, on either side of the garage doors. And then being a two-car garage, the one one in the middle where I can put the plant.
Okay.
And
yeah. And that is the number one spot that you're going to see mites get into the spruce, because surrounded by concrete and cement, you're raising the temperature around the plants, and therefore they're going to dry out quicker. And therefore in the summer, they're going to get stressed out because the soil is going to be hot and dry. And that's when the mites can explode, their population explodes. But you don't notice it until later on. Okay?
So, all right, so we're now into April. So
okay.
How do I save what I have left?
I would just use the water treatment, blast them with water three times a week, you know, or even three times in 1 day, because we also know, like with whitefly, some studies have shown that if you see whitefly on a hanging basket and you blast it with plain old water three times in a day, that the whitefly, actually, they die of a nervous breakdown because you're fussing them out too much. So, I would try that, and you know, that I think you got a 50-50 chance of saving them. But if they're already brown, are they more than 50% brown?
The one in the middle is the one that's between the other two. They're about 10 feet apart.
Okay, take that middle one out, and now you understand why the one in the middle went first, because it was surrounded by the most concrete. Therefore, it was growing at the highest, you know, ambient temperature from all that concrete. It probably dried out the most, so it had the most mites. The other two, blast them with water, and maybe in the middle, could you substitute a different shrub, you know, that could handle the heat a little bit better, maybe?
Well, they're all kind of matching, so I don't know. I have,
oh, it's giant, huh?
Yeah, an arborvitae, and that, you know, it didn't look as nice, and it got too big too fast.
Yeah.
My other problem is I'm going to be gone in the summer for about 3 weeks. So outside of that, there's no one, like you say, to spray it two or three times a week.
Yeah.
Even though before I go, I always, you know, water them, and I hire the neighbor to come over and water. But, you know, as asking them to come over three times a week.
Oh, no, no. You only have to do that for, you don't have to continually do that. You only have to do it three times a week for like a week or so.
Okay.
So do you have to continue?
What kind of systemic? I mean, I've seen systemic for roses, and I've seen them for other shrubs, but they do not mention for red spider mites. Is there a
You have to have one that actually says red spider mite on it.
Okay.
And I'm not, gosh, I can't think of it would be called a miticide.
Miticide.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when I transplant another one, do I throw out the entire soil? that the sick plant, that the dead one was in?
No, I would just do the top inch of the soil.
Okay.
Because there's going to be, you know, the little guys have fallen down onto the soil. Which, by the way, the other two that you're keeping, I'd put a fresh mulch of bark on top of the soil just to seal in those little mites that are going to get washed down onto the soil.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a plan. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Hey, thanks so much for calling, Joyce. And once up another line, you can give me a call here today at 1-888-973-KIRO. That's 1-888-973-5476. I'm here to answer your gardening questions today. And I'm also going to be telling you some things that need to be done in your garden right now. So we talked about now is a good time to plant dahlias. Now is also a good time to plant any of your summer flowering bulbs like gladiolas. You can also visit the nursery this week while they're well stocked before they get swamped for Mother's Day and buy your roses. You can buy shrubs. You can buy Japanese maples that are just leafing out and all sorts of perennials. Now, if you're looking for perennials that are going to grow in an area that take less water, because everybody's interested in saving water now, you might want to look for some perennials with gray leaves or thick, fleshy leaves like the sedums and succulents. If you want some tips on what to get, become my friend on Facebook. Go to Facebook and sign up as my friend at Marianne Bonetti. And my name is spelled weird. It's M-A-R-I-A-N-N-E, B as in boy, I-N-E-T-T-I. And sign up for Marianne Bonetti on Facebook and also on Instagram. And I'll be showing you what I'm going to plant. And I'll be showing you pictures of my yard and what you should be doing in your garden every day. So I think I'm not going to be able to go any more questions, you guys, because I need to do a hard break at the top of the hour for the news. But I want to thank everybody for calling in. And Cisco will be back. And actually, I think Cisco's going to be at the spring fair tomorrow. So if you're going to be headed to Puyallup, I'm going to be headed there tonight, headed to Puyallup for the spring fair. You're going to be seeing Cisco there. And meanwhile, this is a good time to visit my website at BonettiGarden.com, where you can find out where I'll be speaking, and I'll be talking to you guys later. Thanks again. Bye.